Here, the old gods are dead.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Happy New Year. We've done an episode since then, but it was just because of the countdown. It made me think about it. Welcome back to the Preview Podcast. I'm Indica with Sativa.
Hi.
Wait, no, I guess you're Indica and I'm Sativa. Because, like, you're, like, more chill than me. And I'm more likely to, like, give you, like, the brink of psychosis, you know?
What is it they used to say? Like, if you smoke Indica, you'd be in the couch. So, have you heard that before?
No, but that's good.
This is the first episode of the Creepy Bee Podcast where I have been actually drunk, and you can tell.
What do you mean? I'm having, like, Krabby's. It's that kind of night. I have, like, school tomorrow.
Like Krabby's ginger beer?
Well, no, I'm having ginger wine, actually.
Oh, wow. I've never had Krabby's. Like, it sounds like something that I would like, though. Not sponsored. I'm drinking Vault City craft beer.
Oh, if anyone lives in Glasgow and knows somewhere where I can buy, like, the Vault City beers, because every time Becca has one, I want one. If anyone knows, like, a place that sells them, please get in our comment section or our DMs. I don't care how you contact us, just do it. I don't care what you call me, just call me. What about the Oscars, eh?
What about everything, everywhere, all at once, getting
sweet? She will sweep.
She will sweep the Oscars. And you heard it here first. We were the only people that were talking about that film 6 months ago.
No, we put it on the map.
I believe
it's like
so.
It's like the Auntie Dune to me. Like, I love it so much.
When I was in the cinema having a fucking full-blown breakdown, and the cinema was silent, apart from me.
I was sobbing, like, actually in full tears at these, like, it's just rocks with googly eyes and text, and somehow it's the most emotionally empowering scene in the film ever,
but also fucking hilarious. I was cackling and crying at the same time.
Yeah.
if you haven't seen Everything Everywhere All at Once, it is free to watch on Prime at the moment. If you want Mams and Prime Password, give us a shout.
Also watch After Sun as well.
Because I haven't seen that
so
yet.
Good.
Scottish Paul director as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm surprised it wasn't up for anything for writing and directing since.
It should be up for writing, I think.
So personally. I take it Paul Mescal was the only one that got a nomination for that film.
I think so, yeah. And he deserves it.
Well, a good time for Scottish cinema then. When was the last time we had a good film? Brave?
Trainspotting 2, probably the last one.
Kelly MacDonald, Scully acting. Let me guess, you're one of the sentimental types. The way that Merida spoke like that. Kelly MacDonald, if you ever hear this, I really love you.
I don't. I do, I'm kidding. I just wanted to be mean.
Speaking of people with total robotic accents, I went to see Megan in the cinema this week.
I didn't know where it was going.
No, seriously. I seen the trailer for Megan like a couple of months ago and I was like, this, if it's a serious horror film, looks shit. And then I think I seen like the like B trailer where it was like more funny and more campy and I was like, no, I have to see this. Apart from Everything Everywhere All at Once, Megan is the best experience I've ever had in the cinema. Like, me and my girlfriend went to see it and we were actually like holding on to each other, like cackling. Also, the entire cinema was like quiet.
This happens to you a lot.
Yeah, I like to be the main character having the best cinematic experience every time I go anywhere what I go to see. Like, please, everybody, homework for the next episode. Like, Liam's gonna go watch Megan and so is everybody else.
When and we're all gonna talk about it. It's on DVD and I start talking about it.
It's made like $100 million at the
I know,
box
that's
office.
Fucking crazy.
It is the campest film I've ever seen.
It's one of the best marketing campaigns I've ever seen in my life.
You can have to get like Gen Z and like millennials hooked on a film as to have a wee
a silly
gay robot sing Titanium by Sia. Fine, I'll watch Pitch Perfect again.
I was literally about to say, wait, they stole that from Pitch Perfect.
It's the exact same. It's the same way that Britney Snow sings it in Pitch Perfect.
Like a robot.
Like a robot.
Yeah.
Britney Snow actually went to the Kelly MacDonald School of Acting.
Oh, I had it in my notes to tell someone I hope they die on the podcast, but I can't remember why.
Who?
I don't know. I think it was I was on the train and I was in my if you're one of these kind of people.
Go be passive aggressive then, like you normally are.
Okay, you don't need to do me like that. I can't argue with you. I mean, it's true. Mean.
Every time you hear something mean to say, it's about a bus or a train and somebody who's on it.
I really travel a lot for someone who hates it.
Who do you want to tell to go and die then? The Tory party?
But like, Margaret Thatcher. Wait.
Geez. Best moment in my life, honestly. That is cemented in my mind.
I have never seen so many people happy at once. Like, that was the closest we came to like world peace in Scotland.
That and the Christmas the Wii came out. World peace.
Christmas of the Wii, summer of Pokemon Go, Margaret Thatcher's death. The Holy Trinity. Yeah, speaking of pillagers and bandits. Pirates. Arr.
Yes, this episode is going to be about pirates. So we'll take a wee break and then we'll tell you the story about William Kidd.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Before we get into the story of William Kidd, we need to clarify the difference between pirates and privateers.
Okay, so pirate originates from the Greek pirates, I believe it's pronounced, meaning literally just brigand, like a bandit or a hoodlum of some kind. And it can be applied to like a wide range of nautical like behaviors. Like it's not one specific thing, it's not just robbery. Like any crime conducted on the way is considered being a pirate. So like assault, kidnapping, robbery, murder. If it's on the high seas, it's a pirate. And if it's not, you're just a bandit. Or if you're on a horse, cowboy. A privateer is basically just like the 007 license to kill. Like it's just a pirate that is allowed to do it. Mainly it's done in a way where it's like the government is like, okay, now you be your like hoodlum little band itself, but leave us alone. But the Spanish over there, they're kind of in our way, so you can pillage them and then it's okay. The most famous of the privateers is probably the English Admiral Francis Drake, who made a killing plundering Spanish settlements in the Americas after being granted a privateering commission by Elizabeth I in 1572. So the use of privateers in this manner like allowed state to project maritime power beyond like the like legal capabilities of their just regular navies. But there were like trade-offs because privateering is more lucrative and often they sort of like jump at the bit to do anything a bit off color, I guess. So they're kind of like uncontrollable. They're the underdog. Like you can't count on them. But yeah. They're good to have on your side. So this often led like privateers to go beyond their commission and attack vessels that weren't of the country they were commissioned to be attacking. And the blurry line between pirate and privateer, the most like perfect example of this was Captain William Kidd.
Kidd was born in Dundee in 1654, although there are other claims that he was born in Greenock. Kidd himself stated that he was born in Dundee in a testimony he gave in 1695. And of course, it makes sense that he was born in Dundee. It's a shipping town. Dundee was becoming a really busy port during the early days of the British Empire. And Kidd, we didn't know what age he was, but I'm assuming that he's like late teens, early 20s. He boards a ship in Dundee and sails off to the colonies in New York. America's not a country yet. It's still a British colony.
That's crazy.
The English had just taken over New York for the Dutch. Because I think it was called New Amsterdam before. And now it's New York.
And then so that part of the city is, the map looks like Amsterdam's map because they made it to look like home. And then like Manhattan and stuff has the Glasgow city block because when it was overtaken by the UK, the British, they implemented like Glasgow's street setting for it.
Also, if you have ever been to Dublin and go to Dublin and look at all the buildings, you're like, huh, this looks really American. It looks like we're on like the City Friends or something. It's because loads of Irish immigrants came here during the famine to New York and built New York with Dublin bricks and in the style of Dublin. So that's why Dublin looks exactly like New York, which is a fun fact. Anyway, by 1689, Kidd was a member of a French-English pirate crew that were sailing around the Caribbean under the French captain Jean Fantin on the ship named the Saint Rose. During one of their voyages, Kidd formed an alliance with crew member Robert Culliford, and the pair of them and the remaining British sailors mutinied and kicked the captain, Jean Fantin, off the ship and killed the remaining Frenchmen. They sailed to the British colony in Nevis in the Caribbean, and there they renamed the ship the Blessed William, and Kidd was named captain. So the ship's called the Blessed William. Some people do think that this is like, it's named after the King of England at the time, who was called King William, or William Kidd's got a massive ego and he named it after himself, which I like. I do.
Which, yeah. If we get into like further, like later on, I know which one I believe. I'll say that.
This man has a massive ego. So he's elected captain of the ship, either by the ship's crew or by the appointment of the governor of the island of Nevis, who was called Christopher Codrington. By this time, Kidd was an experienced leader and sailor, and the Blessed William became part of Codrington's small fleet assembled to defend Nevis for the French, as England were at war with them in the war that is known as the Grand Alliance. To put this into context, in the Caribbean at that time, if you were a privateer and working for the English government, you would be allowed to take over French ships or any other army that the English were fighting with in the War of the Grand Alliance. That's how it would work.
Yeah, and was your pay not normally like whatever you pillage, but then you have to give a percent back to the crown?
Yeah, so Codrington hired William Kidd and the Blessed William and its crew to be privateers for the English. But he said, and this is a bit different for other governments, because yes, that does happen, what you just said, but Codrington said, I'm not going to pay you for your defensive service. You can get your pay for the French. So wherever the French were, even if it was like an island that they occupied or a ship, you could go and plunder that and you could take 100% of the profit. Whereas if it was somebody who had independently hired William Kidd as a privateer, they would sponsor him essentially to be a privateer, and they would all split the profit. So Kidd would get a profit, the person who hired him, and all the sailors. But in this instance with Codrington, it's just you get what you want as long as you can protect Nevis, if that makes sense. Because Codrington's telling them, just take whatever you want for the French, Kidd and his men attack the French island of Marie Galante, destroying its only town and looting the area and gathering around £2,000, which I couldn't work out that far back how much that would be in terms of inflation.
A lot.
It's fucking loads.
A shit ton.
Aye, like a shit ton. So he's a really rich pirate during this time, and he's already kind of a nobleman as it is anyway, because he's a privateer, he's not a pirate, and he's seen as kind of well off.
Yeah, they're generally respected as well.
Yeah. And his crew, they love the money, but things get kind of rocky. So remember Robert Culliford, the guy who helped Kidd mutiny against the French captain on the Blessed William? Well, Robert Culliford steals the Blessed William fake Kidd whilst they're ashore in Antigua, and Kidd gets left behind, and Culliford sails away with the Blessed William. So Kidd's a bit defeated and he returns to New York, but luck would have it that he meets and marries a twice widowed woman, Sarah Bradley Cox, who is the richest woman in New York, one of the richest women in New York, because she's buried two of her husbands. Natural causes, she's quite a young woman, but the last husband that died is one of the richest men in New York, which makes her a very, very rich widow. And through her, Kidd becomes one of the wealthiest and most, like, prolific men in New York as well. And he kind of, like, rubs shoulders with, like, a lot of governors during this time. So he's making a name for himself. In 1695, Kidd returned to England to receive a royal commission as a privateer. There, he befriended Lord Belmont, who had been tapped to take over the governorship in New York. Under Belmont's direction and financial backing, Kidd was hired to make his way to the West Indies with a crew and attack French ships and pirate vessels. This request had the weight of the crown behind it, and Kidd would have been considered disloyal to the crown if he turned it down, because it was personally backed by the signature of the king during this period, who was William III, better known as King William of Orange.
Oh my god. I just realised who that is.
Yeah, it's like 1690. So... So obviously he can't say no, his hands are tied. He probably did what he did anyway, it isn't like that he would say no to that. But the confiscated loot for this task would be divided between Kidd, his men, and his backers, like Liam said earlier. It would be divvied up, and it would go to the crown as well. So in May 1696, Kidd set sail on the 34-gun vessel, the Adventure Galley, which he had specifically modified to make it faster. He'd put oars on it so that if there was nae wind, they would still be able to row fast as fuck away from any enemy or capture people fast. The Adventure was well suited to the task of catching pirates. It was equipped with 34 cannons and 150 men. Kidd took pride in personally selecting the crew, and he chose only those who he deemed to be the best and most loyal officers.
So, Kidd is setting out on his little expedition that he's been set by the king. He's sailing down the Thames and they pass a navy yacht in Greenwich, and custom dictates that they should salute the yacht as a sign of respect, which Kidd's crew did not follow. And the navy yacht then fired a shot as a warning to tell them to show respect, and which Kidd's crew responded, okay, so to clarify, similar to pirate, privateers are drunk all the time. They responded with an awe-inspiring display by turning round, dropping their trousers and slapping their bums like the boons. Like they just presented to the Navy. And this refusal to salute led to the Navy vessel's captain retaliating and taking a lot of Kidd's, like, painstakingly selected crew and forcing them to join the Navy, which are sanctions that normally aren't placed upon private. But I respect the pettiness. He was like, you've been set this mission and now you're doing it with half the crew. Have fun. So now shorthanded, Kidd set sail for New York City, capturing a French vessel en route, which was legal under the terms of his commission, obviously. And to make up for his lack of officers, Kidd picked up a replacement crew in New York, the vast majority of which were known hardened criminals, and some were likely former pirates. So I respect his, like, dedication to anarchy and nonconformity, I guess.
I kind of tell if he's just, like, bad at making decisions or is the unluckiest privateer in the world.
So in the September of 1696,
in the September,
Kidd weighed anchor and set course for the Cape of Good Hope. A third of his crew died due to an outbreak of cholera. It's not funny, but, like, just, like, he does have really bad luck. Like,
it's L after L for here on out, like.
The brand new ship he had made developed many leaks, and he failed to find the pirates he expected to encounter off the coast of Madagascar. So he's down crew, down money, down on luck, high on cholera, and probably drunk. It's just L after L for my sister. So with his mission obviously failing, Kidd became desperate to cover the cost that he was missing. Yet he failed to attack several ships when given the chance, including a Dutchman and a New York privateer. Some of the crew deserted Kidd the next time that the adventure anchored, and those who decided to stay on made constant open threats of mutiny. So he's on his last legs. He's on his last peg leg, you know?
It's kind of given sacked in the morning for William Kidd at this moment in time. With the constant threat of mutinies, this is by far the worst one, and he handles it very badly.
He said, well, go. I don't even want you here anyway.
Well, basically. So Kidd's gunner, William Moore, was on deck sharpening a chisel when a Dutch ship appeared. Concerned that the crew had made no profits from plundering, Moore begged Kidd to attack the Dutchman, an act which would have been considered piratical since the nation was not at war with England and would also be certain to anger the Dutch-born King William. Kidd refused, and he called Moore a lousy dog. And Moore retorted by saying, if I am a lousy dog, you have made me so. You have brought me to ruin and many more. Kidd reportedly took an iron bucket and swung it and hit Moore on the head with it, fracturing Moore's skull, and Moore died the following day. Everybody make a wee note of that, because it will come back to bite Kidd in the arse later. So, nobody mutinies really following that. I think they're all too scared to. And Kidd would take his most valuable prize, the Armenian ship, the Kida Merchant, in January 1698. Captain Kidd spotted the Kida Merchant about 25 leagues away from Cochin and raced to catch up with it. After approximately 4 hours, the adventure galley caught up with the Kida and hoisted a French flag for its colours. Kidd commanded that the other captain board his ship. This was using a common pirate manoeuvre where you change the flag to trick the ship that you're about to capture. The other ship, the Kida Merchant, also raises the French flag, and it's kind of like alluding to the fact that they're both safe to talk to each other on the waves. And Kidd forces the other ship to yield, essentially, by doing this, and they board the ship. But when he boards, to his utter frustration, he finds that the ship was actually an Indian merchant ship and some of the crew were Dutch. Some of them were also British, so it's kind of bad luck here. He's kind of fucked all around. And even more bad luck, the ship was carrying merchandise between Indian ports, one half which belonged to a Mughal nobleman called Mukhlis Khan, and the rest to some Armenian-Iranian merchants in a business deal that had been brokered by the English East India Company. This would be considered piracy by the English, but Kidd was totally unaware of the fact that the ship carried this merchandise. Obviously, the East India Company, I think we all ken about them and their atrocities in India, but this was when they were just becoming a thing. Notwithstanding the clear warning signs that he got from his fellow British captain, the captain of the Kida merchant was British and was basically telling him, like, you should not be doing this. We are not a French ship. We've just got French passes. Yeah, but they had French passports, which Kidd does keep. He's keeping their passports because he's like, I don't believe that you're English, even though the guy's speaking plain English and is actually an English captain. He's working for the East India Company and on behalf of a Mughal nobleman. So Kidd steals the ship, renames it, and goes on to sell the valuable cargo that it holds. This is gold, spices, tea, like really sought after merchandise at this point in time. And he keeps the French sea passes in order to prove, if he needed to, that this was a legal move for him and his crew. When he reached the West Indies in April 1699, he learned that he had been denounced as a pirate because of what he had done on the Kida merchant. He ditches the Kida and sails on a newly purchased ship, the Antonio, to New York, where he tried to persuade the guy who booked him to do this privateering job, the Early Belmont. He tries to persuade the guy to, like, prove his innocence. Belmont, who is scared of being implicated himself, orders Kidd arrested on the 6th of July 1699. Kidd was imprisoned in Boston, spending most of his time in solitary confinement, and his wife Sarah was also arrested and imprisoned. The conditions of Kidd's imprisonment were extremely harsh and were said to have driven him at least temporarily insane. Arriving in England for his trial, Kidd was shocked to learn that on top of the piracy charges, he was also being convicted of murder.
Who'd he kill?
Because of what he did to William Moore.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because he whacking that guy in the head with a bucket.
He had it coming, to be fair.
Important evidence concerning two of the piracy cases, aka the French passports that he obtained for the Kida merchant, were suppressed at the trial, and some historians have later questioned whether the evidence was sufficient for a guilty verdict. So if these passes had been allowed in the trial, Kidd might no have gone on to suffer the fate that he did.
He should have just saluted the Navy and none of this would have happened.
Yeah.
Pride is the deadliest sin, Rebecca. Remember that.
So Kidd is found guilty on all charges and is sentenced to death. He was hanged in a public execution on the 23rd of May in 1701 at the Execution Dock in London. He had to be hanged twice because on the first attempt, the hangman's rope broke and Kidd survived. But some people in the crowd, like, called for Kidd's release, claiming that the breaking of the rope was a sign for God. And some people at that time did consider that to be like, if the rope breaks, you've only got one chance to be hung. He must deserve to live.
I would actually take that as a sign from the universe, from God. I would be like,
yeah,
he's not supposed to be dead. But also, like, you've served your sentence because they did it. He just didn't die.
Yeah.
It's not his fault.
But lo and behold, he was hung again. He was hanged again, like, minutes later, basically, and he died. And his body was gibbeted over the River Thames at Tilbury Point as a warning to future would-be pirates for 3 years. Do you know what a gibbet is? A gibbet is a metal cage that's, like, body-shaped and it's on a big pole. And you put, like, the body of people who have been executed in it, and they could be, like, on bridges to enter cities at city gates, on the river underneath the bridges so that sailors see them on their way into port. And that's what they did with William Kidd. Remember when Kidd returned to New York after hearing that he had been charged
like it was
as a
yesterday
pirate?
I was there. They had can't even built the Empire State Building yet. It's very nice.
Again, it's been minutes for the people who are listening, but it's been fucking 20 minutes for us because of how horrible this episode's been to edit. But basically, when Kidd went back to New York to speak to Bellamont, there is a legend that he buried his treasure, Faye, the Kida merchant, and his other ships. He took it and he buried it in different places around the New York-y kind of New England area. So some was actually found. There was a hoard of treasure found on an island in New York, which was the equivalent of millions of pounds of gold and jewels in today's money. And it was actually taken back to England and used as evidence in his trial. And then there's other hoards, apparently, that have not been found. So there's still rumours around Captain William Kidd's treasure. Kidd is one of the only pirates who has actually been proven to have buried any either his treasure. This story would go on to inspire Scottish writer Robert Louis Stevenson's novel Treasure Island, creating the swashbuckling, treasure-burying stereotype of piracy that we ken today. So whenever you think of like buried treasure or anything like that, nobody's really ever done that apart from Captain William Kidd, and then Robert Louis Stevenson's been like, oh, that sounds good, I'll put that in my book. And then everybody went, aye, that's what pirates do. Pirates say "ar," and they bury their treasure.
And they have a little parrot on their shoulder.
That's the story of William Kidd and how he buried his treasure and how he was the most unlucky pirate in the world. If you want, you can email us at thecreepyweepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at thecreepyweepodcast. TikTok is the same, and Twitter is thecreepyweepod. And if you want to buy any merch, you can find it at thecreepyweepodcast.co.uk. Bye.
What about this way, that way, forwards, backwards, over the Irish Sea? Singing kettle?
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.